There you go. King Promise, Tom Walker, and Eyes Dried Over. Hello, St. Kilda. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday to you. Maurice Misolowski with us. We're going to talk about legacy today. No idea. I'm just wondering, because I tell you what, everybody talks about the younger generations today being self-centred and blah, 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 and all that stuff. Now, if you are a self-centred person, you must have a legacy. But tell me what kind of legacy we're talking about.
In my day, Phil.
In my day. You were going to not mention that.
Which is basically the legacy most people think they're leaving behind. This is part of a conversation I have often because, of course, I talk about the future. Yeah. And part of that future is, you know, what legacy do you want to leave behind? But really what I'm asking is, what are you going to do right now about that? And last week I had the joy of turning this into a workshop.
Oh, yeah.
With a whole lot of people who were CEOs of companies, quite well-heeled companies. They'd sold them in the last little while, mm-hmm. this group. I mean, all sorts of different companies doing all sorts of things. And they were getting together really to talk about what does the future look like for them now that they're not 9-to-5 so much.
Okay.
Although I must tell you, most of them are still 9-to-5 and 24 hours just doing different things.
I bet they are.
And the thing that I wanted to get out of their head was that legacy was really about wealth. All of them were uber wealthy in that room.
Yeah.
They all could have bought and sold Greek islands very, very happily to each other and other people. But the conversation for me was really more important. It was about not just the wealth that they would leave behind, but what else would they leave behind.
But not a material legacy.
Yeah. So for me, legacy, I break it down into a number of areas. I'm not getting up on my lecture soapbox.
Go on.
That wouldn't be unusual for me, but we might as well have a little bit of it. You know, for me, it's there are five key areas of legacy. The first one is the obvious one, I'd suggest, and that's wealth. That's the money you leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, these are the more important things. Strangely enough, money doesn't go astray. I'm not saying it's a terrible thing, but equally as important, it's about the knowledge you leave behind, the values you leave behind.
The change you leave behind? Is that in there?
Yeah, the influence and the adaptability. The adaptability is that ability to be able to change and to ride, you know, to ride right. with the punches, so to speak, to roll with the punches, whichever one works for you. And it's important, I think, if we are talking about legacy, which normally we think about something after we're gone, to really think about it as something we do from today onward. You know, we create a legacy. We don't leave it.
So it doesn't have to be huge. That's quite interesting.
No, it doesn't. And it's not about money. It truly, truly isn't. I mean, the money, as I said, doesn't go astray. But if you talk to the vast and vast majority of people, mm-hmm. after someone's passed on, they talk about the memories, the things they taught them, the values they taught them, you know, the cooking that they stood next to them with and they learned from, their ability to, you know, grandpa went through really tough times, but he came out of it and he built a wonderful family. It's those kinds of stories.
So what would that legacy be? If you had to label all the stuff we're talking about today.
I still think it is under the word legacy, but I think it's a broader definition of what it is. We really need to not just label it back to wealth. We need to label it back to what it is as individuals we want to leave behind. What's the message? You know, what is the wave we leave behind us? What do we want people to understand about our lives? And it's the transfer of wisdom, I think, is really important. And that's something I've rabbled on for a long time. There's too much information, too much knowledge now. Information meaning that we can all look into Google and we can get all sorts of facts and figures. Are they? I don't know. We can turn that into knowledge, which is, you know, my interpretation of it. But wisdom, especially with that group in the room, and I'd suggest every one of us listening, we have incredible wisdom, which is life experience. It's learnt lessons. We need to pass them on in a way that's relevant to tomorrow's generation.
So far, Maurice, it sounds like you're talking about two kinds of legacy. One is just the small but very important things in life that you don't go around shouting about. And the other is the things that you do want to shout about so you're remembered as the guy that paid a squillion dollars for whatever.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it is true. But for me, again, as we've said already, it was really important that we got just beyond that conversation
sure.
of wealth. We
Absolutely.
Needed to understand it. And I needed also for them to understand that what they need to not become is what most of us hate with people that tell you, I told you so, or in my day, in my generation, we did.
Yeah.
And every generation says that they're going to hell in a handbasket, the next generation. The Beatles are terrible, you know, the long hair, everyone, no one will ever read again.
They said that at the time. That's interesting, isn't it?
And that's exactly it. And we are now the grandparents who were told that. I mean, you know, I was part of that generation who was told the Beatles was really, well, no one ever told me they were evil, but I grew up understanding that through the media and through other things. And, of course, they aren't. They're now the bedrock of what we understand music to be and how we love and experience the 60s onwards. Mm. So that was what was important, that we understand that we need to interpret our wisdom so it makes sense to the next generation, not so that we're saying that we are better or worse than them or what they are doing is wrong, because it's not wrong. It makes sense to them, maybe not to us.
Do you think now, Maurice, that seeing as we seem to be passing over a lot of the work that our brains and our thinking capacity does to AIs, I'm wondering when the last generation that really left a legacy, or those famous doctors who saved millions of lives with a vaccination or something like that, that level of legacy is going to be done by machines and stuff now, AIs.
I'm not so sure. I think it'll be done in concert with people. It's most likely that there'll be a lot of the humans that are attached to that AI that hopefully have used it as a great tool
they teach it
to be able to... Yeah. Well, I think it's more of an aid. I think that what the AI will do is to be able to tell or give humans information or knowledge, which is not wisdom, about what it is it understands, and we'll have to interpret it. I can't see a time in the short term, next 10, 20 years, where pharmaceuticals will, for instance, just get on the pharmaceutical list because AI invented it and says it's great.
No.
It still has to be tested by humans. It'll have to go through the FDA or whatever the appropriate, depending on which country, to make sure that it's ethical and we can use it. People will still always be involved, I hope. But AI may trigger that. But because AI is around, I think this conversation is even more important.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about in all of these things is humanity. We're talking about reinforcing the fact that we are humans, there is wisdom, there is past history, there is culture, there is religion, there are all the things that you think are important that you want to pass on to other people that we need to find a way to package really nicely.
Right.
Some of it we're going to leave in a lump sum, like a money, you know, after we're gone. Some of it we'll do in little trickles, you know, as we have conversations with our kids and our grandkids and our employees or whoever else we're with, our loved ones, we'll leave them little bits of wisdom without even knowing it.
Mm.
So let's be more mindful about what that legacy that we want to leave behind is.
That's a very good thing to say. Of course, I'm referring to a new article that Maurice has written, morrisfuturist.com. It's all there on the blog bit. Every generation sees change and believes their moment in history is unprecedented. I wonder if there's ever been a moment in history that isn't unprecedented, Maurice.
I can't believe that there would be. No, I think literally before there was language and we were rolling those rocks down the hill and getting excited because we found that there was some greater purpose for them, we were exactly that. We were excited. When Gutenberg's press came out, the same thing, meaning that we could finally print information, which meant not only that it was mostly the nobles and the priests and people of religious orders that read and wrote information, suddenly that became possible for a whole lot of other people as well. I think every generation, inventing the steam engine, all of those were incredible innovations.
I mentioned doctors. Medical scientists, researchers, that was my just go-to thing. That was my gut reaction. I mean, do you think a lot of the greatest legacies are in that area?
I don't think they are. I think a lot of them, I think a number of them might be because it touches us directly. It makes us safer, stronger, healthier, living longer, vital lives. I think that's true. But there are a whole lot of other inventions around that have certainly changed our life. This thing that we, you know, rally against all the time, the internet, the social media. They're big game changers. This AI thing is a big game changer. Steam engines were a big game changer. Simple things like fire. I actually think fire was the greatest legacy of all time for humanity. It literally changed humans forever, however we came about understanding it.
I started off talking about Gen Z, Gen Z. What kind of legacy do you think this generation might leave? Because it's very cool to have a go at Gen Z, isn't it?
It is. It was actually fascinating in this workshop last week because, strangely enough, there was a Gen Z in the room. Now, he was not retiring. He was actually the son of one of the people who were one of those CEOs that had sold their business.
So that's just 1997 to around 2012. Right.
Exactly.
Okay, go on then.
And he'd come for breakfast. I mean, he literally left after breakfast going to university. So he stayed with us for about an hour. And I was going around and asking each of them what legacy they were leaving behind, hoping to, of course, get them to all talk about wealth and nothing else so that I could say, aha, well, you know, there's more to life than that. But I asked him the reverse question. I didn't even know he was going to be in the room. I asked him the reverse question. What legacy do you want left behind by all of us old dinosaurs in this room.
Yeah, and?
And his legacy, it was actually a really interesting answer. What he said was, and I think this, I know this to be conditioning because of the life that he's lived, is that what he said that he appreciated the most so far was the stability of his life. That he knew that he would have food, and he said food and shelter.
Oh, yeah.
That he would most probably have the basic needs of his life taken care of, and that he had the freedom now to be able to study and do other things. It was fascinating. I mean, you saw all of these old people like me looking at him. It was interesting to hear from his mouth how he thought that was important. This might be him right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You know what's really interesting? Have you ever had that conversation with yourself where you think, what would be a cool year in history? So I wish I was born in the Jazz Age. Well, no, because you'd probably get sent off to World War I, depending on where you were. Well, what if I was born in 1920, early 20s? Well, you'd probably get sent off to World War II. It's very difficult to find a year to be born where you don't have some massive conflict that could have finished you off.
That's absolutely true, and there were times somebody's injured.
Maurice's got a landline. That's what's killing me.
Isn't it incredible, Phil? And it doesn't want to stop. Anyway, we'll pretend it.
Don't worry, it's your busy Maurice evil lair. That's right. Yeah. But what about that though? I mean, these eras. I mean, goodness me, some incredible legacies, both good and bad.
Yeah, there are. And I think at every time on humanity, it's exactly the same. We talk about doing things for niceness and evilness. There are always great examples, even of times of turmoil, of people doing incredible things.
Yep.
And people do incredible things live in turmoil. It's just both. I think it isn't. I don't think that there has ever been, nor will there ever be, an ideal era.
Yeah, I tell you what, I just want to refer to your article for a second whilst you do whatever it is there. One of them that's kind of left of centre, adaptability, that's the fifth one on your list. And Maurice says, perhaps the greatest legacy of all is the ability to embrace change. And that's very general, but without embracing change, other great legacies can't be left.
Yeah, and especially true of our time now, moving forward for these kids, the legacy we want to leave behind. The reality is that we had, using that word stability again, was kind of, you could look out for 10, 15, 20 years, know your career was pretty much set, that whatever family you had was pretty much it. You know, everything was kind of locked in. Today, that's not true. Literally within 2 seconds, the whole world changes, and we see that dramatically now because of politics, because of economics, because of religion, because of all kinds of things. It can change on a dime. What our kids, grandkids, those around us, those that work for us or with us, will see from us is our willingness and our ability to be able to roll with the punches, to look at something and to be able to say, this too will pass, what do we need to do to get from here to there, and to show them resilience, to show them that it's possible.
You know, your in my day thing, we've all heard that. Yeah. Do you think that sort of hints at a generation that had some kind of struggle? And as your friend you met at this symposium said, well, the stability of my life, he's not having struggle. Well, that's not a bad thing, is it? Or is it?
It really is subjective. I would say it's a good thing. It's something that most people would want to leave as a legacy, the ability for the next generation to be able to do and have more than they had. Some people would argue that they're being fed too much and the silver spoon affects them.
Yeah.
And not the ability. Again, it's really a matter of neither is right or wrong. It's a matter of the legacy you want to leave.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Bill Gates and others have said that they will leave their children very, very little in the form of wealth, because they think that they have too much money to pass on to children, and it doesn't make sense to really give them all the billions and billions of dollars.
Why not? They could do some good with it.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I want to be.
I mean, they really could. We're assuming they're all going to be spoilt little breadheads, but they could do some good with it.
Well, they could, and that's exactly the answer. The answer is exactly that some people see it as a burden and don't want to pass it on, and other people think it's a great joy and that there's great purpose in passing it on for others to do things with.
Absolutely. Well, if you go to morrisfuturist.com, you can read it. Of course, this article goes on a bit. Just give us the conclusion or, as I always ask you, an unexpected takeaway for you through writing this.
It really was. Well, for me, it was, again, breaking it down into those various areas. But I kind of love what that kid said. It was really serendipity that he came along for breakfast at Free Feed and then left.
Fair play.
Because the rest of the morning was, we often referred back to what he said, because it was fascinating to see from the next generation that we were trying to leave a legacy to, what they actually might have wanted from us.
Brilliant stuff, Maurice, as always. Lots of food for thought there. MauriceFuturist.com, if you want to check out what he's written. Of course, it goes into considerable detail. We'll talk next week, Maurice. Thank you so much. Let's